Our scripture this morning comes to us from chapter 2 of Genesis. Hear these words with me. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle, and to the birds of the air, and to every animal of the field. But for the man there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken." Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the word.
Thank you.
a little over half century ago, an influential rock group sang an iconic song made famous by a single word. Maybe these lyrics are familiar to you. Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone, and then a really elongated help. These lyrics from the Beatles hit song that shares its name with the movie was an expression of stress for songwriter John Lennon after the group quickly rose to success in the mid-1960s. But this idea of help flies contradictory in many ways to what we often see in society, where we are told to do it ourselves, and when we fail, we need to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and try again until we succeed. There are so many among and within our inner circles whom we see on a daily or regular basis who continue to subscribe to this mentality, and very often they choose to work alone. And they've done so much of the work alone, and they've done so much work alone, that sometimes it seems like they don't need the help or the extra pair of hands that the help provides. But when the help comes, as many of us know, we realize just how much work two sets of hands can do compared to just one. And so for the next few moments, let us explore this concept of help. As the text opens, we find God finishing up the instructions given to this newly created human in the Garden of Eden about an important tree that will feature in a few verses after today's passage. However, in this passage, we are introduced to this garden and this new human. And the first word spoken in the scripture comes from the lips of God. It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. Now, according to the text, or at least the text that was read, at no point do we see the human venting to God or airing frustration or filing a grievance about being alone while working in the field. And this word, as we hear in verse 19, requires the human to call everything on the earth by a name. And so, as was the task, the human called everything on the earth and thus named it. Now, this passage has long been used as a basis for thinking that humanity has dominion over animals and the whole of nature because it was humanity that named it and therefore gives us power to use or abuse it as we so fit. And I imagine that similar type of sermon is being preached in this way as we speak. But it appears that the purpose of the calling was to not establish dominion or create this hierarchy of importance within the garden, but rather it was to call and give name to each of the created beings. This was the task given to this specific human in the garden. And as we reach verses 21 and 22, it brings us to the crux or the heart of this passage. We find that God has caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, perhaps as a result of a long day of naming all the living creatures all by himself. And I imagine coming up with the name platypus does take a little bit of time and creativity. But while the man slept, his helper was being formed. Now, I know this is probably going to come as a shock to some, but hearing this story and finding ways to deconstruct the story, the helper did not come from the rib, as we seemingly find in every Bible translation. Rather, a more accurate depiction is that the helper came from the side and not the rib, the bone itself. And it's in a later Jewish tradition where it says that the wholeness and completeness that the man expresses in this verse is the result of being restored in wholeness with the arrival of a helper. And so you may be wondering, why does this difference matter? Why is this important to this story? And so as I've been reflecting over this piece of information over the past couple of weeks. One thing that I noticed is that when we are particular about the words that we use and the imagery that we use, it opens our minds in new ways to explore new kinds of imagery. And so when we think about the helper coming from the side, it's more of not just an individual bone, an individual piece of ourselves that we find in another individual, but it's indeed another entire half or full complement of ourselves that we find. And maybe this might ring a bell for some of you, but sometimes the help that we need is the help that comes when we're sleeping or we're not paying attention or we're not awake to what God is doing in our lives. Sometimes the help that we need is the help that we don't want to accept, the help we don't want to recognize, or the help we don't want to acknowledge. Sometimes the help has to come when we're resting from this work that we've been doing for so long. Because when we are working or laboring, sometimes we get so focused or zoned in to what we're doing that we sometimes fail to see that the help is right there waiting to ease the load on our shoulders and provide strength for us. And thinking about the word helper itself, in the Hebrew scriptures, it connotes strength, most notably military strength or divine strength. And so, as we reframe this helper again, out of the first human side, God intended and created a strong helper to assist with the work at hand, one who would complement the human. And if we listen closely to the man's poetic response a few verses later, it reflects delight in his new partner, his co-laborer in this garden. She is like him in flesh and blood, as they are both created from the same elements of the earth. This helper possesses corresponding strengths. They are alike in every way, which is why she is a suitable partner. Matthew Henry, of whom I seldom like to quote, adds a very poignant comment to the sin when he writes that the helper was made out of his side to be equal. Now, of course, this passage, as I mentioned before, it's probably been preached in a similar fashion to this, has long been used or manipulated throughout the course of time to create not just a kind of society where it's a more male-dominated society or patriarchal, but in a way to suppress women in terms of society or in the larger scheme of relationships in terms of family dynamics. And to take a quick rest stop, I just want to remind and reinforce this notion that within the context of this passage, the ancient Near East, this does not seem to speak as to at best a complementary and at worst patriarchal society. Even though the text has been reinforced by 2,000 years of preaching it this certain way that many of us are familiar with, this translation of helper does not adequately reflect what the word means, what the story is trying to intend. This helper refers to the help intending and cultivating the earth, the work that the man was tasked by God to perform. The text does not, of course, speak anything to inferiority of subversiveness in terms of status as has long been preached and as English translations have come to understand, but rather this speaks to someone who would join in companionship to do what God has tasked humankind to do. The help that is looked for is not just assistance in the work, but for mutual support that the companionship provides. And so as we come to the end of this scripture passage, we come to this familiar saying that many of you of her, probably most likely at a wedding. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. This line has a lot more in terms of its depth than just the poetic imagery imagines. This saying reinforces this notion that two humans are one and the same, the latter being literally taken from the former. In this poetic stanza, the human calls the newly formed human woman, and for the first time subsequently, seeing himself in the noun of man. And by calling her woman, instead of giving her a name, as he did with all the other creatures in the garden, it thus establishes this new human as a counterpart to his work. And so you're probably wondering where I'm going with all of this. And there is a point to this. I know that the scripture has been used to oppose or give biblical justification for a variety of issues. And because of the ways in which we have heard this story so many times, I feel as though it calls us to find the point of this narrative altogether and anew. This passage, while it may allude to it at the end, is not just about marriage or establishing a family and living happily ever after with a white picket fence, two kids, and a dog. But rather, the story invites us to ponder what it means to be complete, what it means to be joined with the one who completes you, what it means to find that person who is by your side through thick and thin, because they are your side. The story invites us to think about what it means to find that person who is strong in ways and in those moments that you need it. And when we have found that helper that God has made and created for us, it shouldn't fit within a specific box or kind of frame that everyone else's helper fits into. When we have found the helper that God has created, it is truly akin to finding someone who knows you like you know yourself. And in terms of the work that we are called to do in the vineyard, we cannot do the work alone. And God has not created us to do the work alone. God has created us to do what we can with our own two hands. And then when it is time, God will introduce us to a helper that complements us, possesses these corresponding strengths, and completes us in both known and unknown ways. This helper allows us to enjoy the unity that makes life not only possible, but life that flourishes possible. And as a church, we too are bone of one bone, flesh of one flesh, and spirit of one spirit. We as individual churches cannot do the work alone, and for God calls our church to come together with all the other churches, both in the city of Delaware and Ohio, all across the country, and indeed around the world, to do the work that God has called us to do. And yes, we must admit, sometimes we too need to put a help wanted sign outside of our church, and not just when we are in need of administrative help. But the church sometimes needs to put help wanted sign outside in terms of addressing societal issues or protecting the marginalized and the oppressed, help creating what it means to live into God's justice. The church needs help, to be honest, operating in the same spirit sometimes. As the famous journalist Dan Rather said yesterday, when we look to the left and right, before us and behind us, we see the millions who will support us on this journey for justice, and we must fill our lungs with determined air of action. And so, with lungs filled and preparing ourselves to come to this table on this World Communion Sunday, we recognize that we too do so much work alone and in our own isolated bubbles, both individually and as a church. We do sometimes operate without truly recognizing what our brothers and sisters down the street or across town are up to. But I wonder, what will it look like on a day like today when all of the Christian world is joined together at the Lord's table, feasting at this banquet of bread and juice? I wonder what it would look like that just like at this table, we do not limit who is welcome to embody God's love and who is welcome to express said love. And so I close with these words. What will it look like when we help one another, not just when we ask for volunteers, but because we are co-laborers in the divine garden that is this planet, and we are intentional about tending to the garden? What will it look like when we no longer cast judgment on the makeup of our health, but rather celebrate with joy that the help has finally come? What will it look like when we are all side by side working together for the kingdom of God? Because the earth is crying out for us to tend to it. And at least on this day, we are all side by side seated at the table. Let us pray. Lord, open our ears to hear the voices of those who need our help. Open our eyes to see in the world those that need our help. And open our hearts so that we may go forth into the world and love all of creation created in the image of God. Amen. A song of response is found in the Faith We Sing, number 2264. Come to the table. Let us stand and let us sing. As we come to this table, we are reminded of the helper that God sent to us and for us in the form of Jesus Christ. We are reminded of His sacrifice and His love for all of us at this joyful feast. Those who join at this table come from the east and the west, the north and the south, and sit together at the table in the kingdom of God. He joined with the multitudes who have come, welcoming and inviting all who have professed their faith to come and dine together. All are welcome, and this table has been prepared. Let us pray. O God, today you have called us together to be the church. Unite us now at your table in one loaf and a common cup. Make us one in Christ Jesus. Let your Spirit empower the life we share and ignite our witness in the world. With all who have gone before us, keep us faithful to the gospel teachings and fellowship, to the breaking in prayer and the prayers. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at the heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, Jesus was at table with his disciples. Jesus took the bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you." This is the bread of life, the body of Christ. Let us eat together. In the same manner, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
blood of Christ which was shed for you. Drink ye all of it in remembrance of me.
Let us stand and gather around. I think we can make about half a circle around this this sanctuary for our fellowship song. Let's be the tie that binds. Taken, the more I don't have to carry home. It's really tough. I was initially going to, when I was doing the, this is my body, I was going to lift up the rope and break it. And I was trying to rip it earlier. I was like, I didn't want to do it. Oh, now it went to rip. Because I was planning that, and that's why I just went for the cup.
Yeah, different way of thinking.
Yeah, I figured that there would be a lot of challenging and a lot of interpreting, because it's one of those scriptures that everyone knows and kind of... Yeah, and so I was like, you know, let's do a little different. I mean... Yeah.